Welcome to Worship Advent this morning. We learned something new in light of the fact that the organ is still under the weather. The piano has bells. So we can start with bells even though we don't have the organ yet. Bruce says it should be back by next week. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gift of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of prophet Jeremiah. The great power of facing reality, that is God's truth, cannot be overemphasized. Acknowledging both our sin and God's mercy, recognizing the consequences of our choices while also entreating God to save us, this is the work of living into God's kingdom. Reading from Jeremiah. Although our sins testify against us, do something, Lord, for the sake of your name. For we have often rebelled, we have sinned against you. You who are the hope of Israel, its savior in times of distress, why are you like a stranger in the land, like a traveler who stays only a night? Why are you like a man taken by surprise, like a warrior powerless to save? You are among us, Lord, and we bear your name. Do not forsake us. This is what the Lord says about his people. They greatly love to wander. They do not restrain their feet. So the Lord does not accept them. He will now remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. Why have you rejected Judah completely? Do you despise Zion? Why have you afflicted us so that we cannot be healed? We hope for peace, but no good has come. For a time of healing, there is only terror. We acknowledge our wickedness, Lord, and the guilt of our ancestors. We have indeed sinned against you. For the sake of your name, do not despise us. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember your covenant with us and do not break it. Do any of the worthless idols of the nation bring rain? Do the skies themselves bring down showers? No, it is you, Lord our God. Therefore, our hope is in you, for you are the one who does all this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 84. Starting on page 3 of the bulletin and quickly moving to page 4. Let us read responsibly, excuse me, by verse. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts. My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God.
The sparrow has found her house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. By the sides of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you.
Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way.
Those who go through the desolate valley will find it a place of springs, for the early rains have covered it with pools of water. They will climb from height to height, and the God of gods will reveal himself in Zion. Reading from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. Rather than putting hope in the consistent constancy of human companions, we may rely solely on God's abiding, knowing that in this one thing we will not be disappointed. A reading from Timothy. Second Timothy. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel of the Lord according to Luke. I'm reading from Luke 18, starting at verse 9. It's a story or parable of two people, one who is an eloquent public speaker and prayer, one who prays in secret because he's humble in God's presence, and Jesus talks about them. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, a Pharisee and the other one a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pray tithes and all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but to him who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
This morning I want to take you back to the Old Testament reading from last week in that era of the time of Jacob. And it's one of those times that is so significant in each of our lives. We all have them when we have made decisions in the past that are destructive. I wish I could go back. I really can't undo it, but kind of get restored. And that's really where Jacob was. I believe if I took a mic around, each one of you could talk about times in your life like that. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. Is there redemption? Is there a way to undo or to go back? And in this passage from Genesis 35, 1 to 5, yes, the answer from the Lord is. When we went to our first church, it was in the country, and we thought, how could we possibly live in such a remote part of the state, and we couldn't wait until our 3 years was up that we could go someplace else, and we took a church in the city. And then we got to the city, we thought, we really like the country. That was really nice to have a garden and to have all this open space for our kids rather than just the sidewalk. Couldn't go back, but is there redemption? And this passage says, of course there is. Genesis 35, 1 to 5, God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel and live there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. Remember, Jacob had stolen his brother's birthright, so he got the best of what their dad had. But Esau was so angry that Jacob, with the help from his mom, had to flee. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods which are among you. Purify yourself, change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods which they had, their rings which were in their ears. Jacob hid them under the oak which was near Shechem. As they journeyed, there was a great terror upon the cities which were around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. Jacob was at a really difficult place in his life. He had peace with his brother relatively, but a neighboring prince had raped his daughter Dinah, and the brothers went into the city and killed all the men in that city on behalf of their daughter to make justification for what they had done in their eyes. And it was a difficult thing. But the result was the people in the area were ready for retaliation and the wondering whether it would come. By God's grace, according to this passage, it didn't come. But sometimes we can be at that place. What have I done? Where do I go? What do I do? And it's also true that Jacob at this time had really drifted away from God. He says that God was always with him, but it's the truth was he really wasn't with God. The book of Revelation in chapter 2 talks about that, referring to the church of Ephesus. I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, repent and do the deeds you did at first. The concept being that people like Jacob, he'd had a relationship, he'd had an encounter with God, a power encounter, but then he drifted away and began to just depend on himself. And now, at a critical time in his life, God says to him, why don't you come home? Why don't you come back? And so the words that he has for his family, for his household, are to put away, to come clean, and to go back. And those are the three simple things I'd like you to consider for yourself for today. God spoke to Jacob not because he had been a good man. He was a deceiver. He deceived his brother. He had been deceived by Laban. He had deceived Laban when he went to his mother's home area of Aram. So it wasn't that he was the person at Advent who everyone knew was the most godly person. He wasn't. But God said to him, come back. And a part of it is, why did God speak to Jacob? He was preparing him for the future. God didn't choose Jacob for what he was, but for what he would become in the future. And many times that's how we are. We come to know Jesus in a personal way, then we can drift away, and it's not that God deserts us, it's that we again try to live our lives by ourselves, and it causes trouble like Jacob and his family had. And so what do? I was reading earlier this morning about the prayer awakening of 1857, and it was one man in New York City who looked at where the country was prior to the Civil War. We are in terrible straits. What do? And he publicized a noon prayer meeting for 1 hour, one day a week. And the time came, he came, eventually five came. And they began to pray for the city. And over weeks, hundreds began to come and pray for the city and what God would do in the country. The prayer awakening spread. There were dozens of prayer meetings all over the country where thousands came 1 hour a day to pray for the country, to pray that God would visit the country again. One of those meetings was in Cleveland. God answered the prayer of one man, like Jacob, what do? Come back. Come back to me. And that's what happened in 1857. And so the question for you and for I is, who do we trust? Do we trust ourselves, our own innate ability to conquer anything that comes our way? Or do we say, maybe I need the strength of my Creator in my life? In the gospel reading, the Pharisee who prayed, God, thank you so much that you didn't make me like all these people. Thank you so much that you didn't make me like that wimp over there who's hiding in the shadows. But Jesus said, the wimp was the one whose prayer God heard, because he prayed out of humility, not out of pride. And I believe that Jacob, even though he had much, was at a place where he understood that he was vulnerable. So the three concepts that come from this passage of put away, come clean, and go back are so important. One of the things that I find fascinating here is they have symbols of other pagan gods, earrings and other amulets and jewelry. And he collects that and buries it under an oak tree near Shechem. It was apparently the very same tree when Abram first met God that he built an altar. And it was also the place where Jacob earlier had his power encounter with the Lord. For us, we don't have an oak tree where we can take and bury the regrets we have for our past, the things that we have depended upon rather than the Lord. And it's called the cross. It's not an oak tree, but it's where we can go and bury that which we regret, those decisions that we have made that, Lord, I can't go back. Could you deal with this? And the answer is yes. Put away, come clean, and go back. And that's what Jacob was about. In 1 John 1:9 it says, if we acknowledge our sins, he who is just can be trusted to forgive our sins and cleanse us from every wrong. And so the question is, thinking of the oak tree and the cross, are there areas in your life that you would love to undo? Well, the answer is you can't. But you can bury them, those things from the past. Our oak tree is the cross. You can bury them, understanding that they are now under the life, blood, and resurrection of Jesus. It changes everything. The one who trusts me and is true to my word, our lives are changed. This is in John 14:23. Anyone who loves me will be true to my word, which means I want to put away, but I also want to come clean, which means, Lord, I want to begin to live in a way that's pleasing to you. Anyone who loves me will be true to my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. That's the concept of going back to Bethel, that I no longer am drifting in my life, depending on others, depending on my own success, but depending on the one that Jesus talked about, that I won't leave you as orphans, but I'll come to you. And if you're true to my word, my Father and I will come and dwell in you. That's the gifting of the Holy Spirit. So wrapping it up, here's what Jacob and his family walked through. It's a picture of repentance, that no matter where we have been, he was a deceiver. In a few verses later, in chapter 35, starting at verse 9, the result of Jacob putting away, coming clean, and going back was that the Lord, first of all, said to him, I'm going to change your name. You're no longer the deceiver. You're Israel. And out of his 12 sons came the tribes of Israel. But more than that, he said, the land that I promised to Abram and to Isaac, I now promise to you. Because you are following me, you are now my child after my own heart. A powerful thing. And that's where we are, that no matter where we've been, if you have episodes in your life like Jacob did, for him it's more a lifestyle, but if you have episodes in your life that you regret, you put them away, you come clean, and then you go back. Coming clean reminds me of this. Yesterday, my brother with his son and his son's family went to the OSU game, the three girls under eight, and almost 105,000 people there. They came home so soaking wet. The first thing that Finn wanted to do was to come clean, to put on a new garment, to get rid of the soak, go in the shower, get dry and warm. That's a part of what happens when we come to the Lord, that no matter where we are, that he will allow us to come into a time of refreshing because of who he is. We don't come to an oak tree. We come to the cross. And in the service, each time when you come in and you come up to the Lord's table, you can remember you have things buried in the ground under that cross that have been dealt with, that no longer have power over your life. You are free. You have a future that is open to you because of who Jesus is. It's a powerful thing. Put away, come clean, and go back. And I encourage you, if there are areas in your life where you need to do that and come back to God, he is ready and waiting. It was never him that drifted. In our story today, it was Jacob. It was never God. So let's continue our service together using our confession of faith, the Nicene Creed. Let's all arise.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
This morning's prayers of the people are on page 6 in our bulletin. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy. Guide the people of this land, our leaders, and all nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and we especially lift up those on Advent's prayer list. We pray for Lillian and Ed, Mary Lou, for Bob, for Irv and Barb, for Michael, for Judy and Bill, for Marilyn, for Karen and Lois, for Sharon, for Steve and Sue, for Joan, for Velta, for Rose, for Art, for George, for Dave. We pray for Tony Kulma, Sylvia and Ed Little, Trevor, Ken and Jim, Richard Ward, and the Eliza Jennings residents. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, we commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Please join me in this final prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another.
Good morning.
Morning.
So there are two clipboards, and there are two sheets on each clipboard finding their way through the congregation. One is for All Saints Day, and one is for Veterans Day. So please note that there are two sheets. Please look at both of them and add any names that you'd like to add to one or both of those opportunities for us to remember. Let me put in a pitch for the Bible study that occurs at 9 o'clock in the morning. We're studying the book of Revelation. We've been meeting now, 6 or 7 weeks, and we've gotten through 3 chapters. And we've got, 20 or 19 more to go or so. If you're put off by the book of Revelation because you think you won't understand it, if you feel like you're not a Bible scholar and would show your ignorance if you came, if there are other hang-ups that you have about joining us for this 9 o'clock session, as Paul just said in his sermon, bury them at the cross. This has been a very, in my mind, important faith formation exercise. I'm speaking personally now, but I think others who have been regular in these sessions will agree. Dr. Charles Stanley speaks eloquently, simply, clearly, and theologically in a sound fashion. So we had about a half an hour's worth of listening this morning to his exposés, and then we had about 20, 25 minutes of good discussion. Please, if you would like to learn more about the book of Revelation, join us at 9 o'clock for this study. In a week or so, you will receive a stewardship letter from me, and I want to highlight something that Max Gage wrote into the Adventures, because it really does speak to the generosity of this congregation. Max is writing in response to all of the appeals that Ray Busoni and others have made this year for capital expenditures, improvements that we've had to make to the building. I don't think any of us thought we were deferring maintenance in prior years, but it's certainly kind of all dumped on us at the same time. So here's Max Gage's response. I just want to say that the people here at Advent are truly amazing. Whenever there is a plea for some additional funds for something that needs to be fixed or replaced, someone always in our congregation steps forward and takes care of the request. This happens over and over again. I would be remiss if I didn't come out and tell you that you are truly special people for all that you do. From the bottom of my heart, I want to tell you thank you, and I love you all. In Christ's love, Max Gage. I couldn't say it better. I know Ray appreciates the generosity and the outpouring of financial love that you've provided, so thank you very much. So would you... It's a lot more meaningful to hear that message from the Joan Joys of the world and the Max Gages of the world who have a heart and have felt that generosity firsthand. Thank you, Joni. I think Pete Meckes is lurking.
Good morning. Morning. Gentlemen of Advent, it is time to gather again, hopefully with success this time. Of some of the places I had planned to go for us to go to, Ruby Tuesdays in North Olmsted closed. Bubba's Barbecue in Avon closed. The Berea Union Depot was closed at our last gathering, so I had to cancel that the night of it. This is not a good trend. So, having said that, we are going to gather, those of us that can make it, on November 18th at 6:30 at the Moosehead Hoof and Letter restaurant in Olmsted Falls.
There was an article in this morning's paper that they're planning on closing.
No. Thank you, Bruce. That encourages me, that and my golf game. All right. Well, hopefully that doesn't happen. So I will hope to see everybody on the 18th for a good conversation and good fellowship. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. So there will be someone to pray with you in back during Holy Eucharist. Please join in those prayers. And finally, Pastor Paul.
You're sending me out the door?
Yes. We're sending you to the wood shop. So I just want to thank you very much for your ministry here, your love and devotion, your sense of preaching the word in a clear fashion. Your word is powerful. It's because it comes from the Holy Spirit. Here's a little gift of thanks.
Well, thank you very much.
From the congregation.
Thank you very much. If your pockets aren't empty, we continue with the offering.
Thank you.
We continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened up to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. We remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup and lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive what the Lord has provided for us.
Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you till life everlasting. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Because we have been so blessed by the Lord, we can go in peace and serve him.
Thanks be to God.